Psalm 24, begins, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." And that's actually, let's just read those first two verses again. "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Now that, I think, is interesting in light of what you often hear Christians saying, and I'll be the first to admit it, I'm guilty of this, so I'll admit it. But, you know, the kind of talk like, oh, it's all going to burn, it doesn't matter, it's all going to burn, you know, sort of like coy dismissal of this creation or whatever. Or you'll hear some people say on the other side of things, well, you know, this is just, you know, this is all Satan's, you know, this world is Satan's. No, the Bible says the world is the Lord's. The earth and all its fullness is the Lord's. And Satan might have control of a lot of people, and people might have control of a lot of things, but that's because he placed us there, and he placed us in that role. And so tonight we're going to be talking about our stewardship of where we live, our immediate surroundings, this planet. And I think that Christians should be at the forefront of taking care of this earth. I didn't always feel that way. I used to think it was all going to burn. But I think if we honor the creation, we're honoring the Creator now. And that's what he's shown me. We don't own the planet. We're stewards of it. And that steward is just, you know, stewardship, taking care of something. Stewardship is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Why? Well, first of all, because God made creation. Creation is God's. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created it. It's his handiwork. It's his fingerprints. It's his breath. He dreamed it up. He spoke it into place. He called it into existence. And it was all as he had planned, all as he dreamed, everything that he wanted it to be. And so God made it. Secondly, it worships him. So many of the Psalms and the different poetic passages of Scripture say things like, day unto night, the skies pour forth speech. They're praising God, those things he made, just in the very physical and scientific makeup, whatever he decided to design them as, they praise God for that alone. The sun praises God, it gets up and praises God every day, whether we're watching it or not. And Christians should be leading the charge on some of these causes as far as appreciating our planet and appreciating the environment. Littering just shows what you think, you know, of the planet around you. It just shows you think of it as trash. Well, I'll add some more trash over here. So it's that sort of thing. It's not honoring to God to treat the environment that he's given us. And I'm not, this isn't like a political message or anything like that. It's just some things in Scripture we tend to overlook. Being a good steward is a simple, tangible, and effective way to honor God. And the reason I bring that up is this is sort of the opposite of what we were talking about last week. This is sort of the other side, where we're talking about the odd and the mystical and the almost, you know, magical elements of the faith. Well, here's something simple. Here's something tangible. Here's something that's an effective way to honor God. And that's the motivation for it. It's, you know, just sort of having that heart of, Lord, you made all this and all this glorifies you. You said so. I'm going to take care of it instead of abusing it while I'm here. And the heart, the motivation is not, you know, the earth is my mother, so I must take care of her. The earth is not your mom. The earth is not your mother. And we need to not fall into that trap just because we decide, oh, you know, I need to honor creation. I need to see how beautiful it is. We need to not fall into that trap of placing God in creation. He made it, but he's not bound by it. He made it, but he's separate from it. Christianity is not pantheistic. That's the theological term. God doesn't inhabit all matter. He just breathed it into existence. He's separate from his creation. That's the teaching of Christianity. Now, Isaiah 66:1, God's speaking there, and he says, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool." And I always thought that was kind of a strange verse. It's like, what, God, you like wipe your feet here or something like that? Like, what's up with that? But I looked up the Hebrew word for the word footstool, and it's hadom, and it speaks of a place God is pleased to dwell and pleased to rule in. It speaks of a place worship can happen, and the earth is the Lord's. And so he's saying he wants to be glorified here. He wants to be exemplified here. He wants us to take care of this place. It's his footstool. It's a place he wants to dwell in. It's a place he wants to rule in. It's a place that he wants to be praised in. Hadom. And so again, as stewards, we're not the owners of this place. There's a couple parables, one in Isaiah, I believe, again, and then one later in Matthew. Jesus says something along the same things, where, you know, basically God or the farmer builds a vineyard and he sets a watchtower in it and he brings some people in to take care of it, but they don't own it. The owner owns it. And we're caretakers. We're given responsibility. We're entrusted in that way, with that responsibility. And this should be easy to apply to our physical surroundings, because we have a lot of them. God gave the order to Adam, to Noah, subdue the land, be fruitful in it, multiply. It means to take stock. It means to preserve and guard everything that's around you. That's what your authority is as a steward. Your authority as a steward is to preserve and guard the stuff around you. It's not to abuse and devastate with your authority. It's to preserve and guard. And we're stewards of this earth. Embracing that reality, of course, would mean a lot to those around us. Because there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus, don't believe in God, but they have a better grasp on, you know, how glorious creation is, I think, than a lot of Christians do. They understand that more than we do. And if they could see us appreciating that, if they could see us embracing that, I think it would say a lot. I think it would say an awful lot. So it's something we should do. If the environmentalists could see that we shared some of their concerns, imagine, that'd be one less thing for them to, you know, take out on Jesus or something. They'd connect it with our beliefs. That's what we want to do. We want to use simple things and have people say, oh, that's part of their faith. That's part of what they believe. And that's what we want. So if we succeed as stewards, we can open doors to share other things God's entrusted with us. He's entrusted with us with a lot of things. Usually we talk about those things, the spiritual things. He's entrusted us with the gospel. He's entrusted us with the word, the Bible. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. All the way over the New Testament. First Corinthians chapter 4. I bring you here so you can see it for yourself and go back to it later if you don't know this passage. But the first two verses say, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Now, stewards of the mysteries of God. The mystery of God being the church, his plan for it, the gospel, how he reconciled people to himself. We're stewards of that message, of that reality. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Forward more, near the back of the book. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 7 to start. Verse 7 in 1 Peter 4, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 10 again, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That means the great big howdy-doody grace. That's the great big grace. The manifold grace of God. We're stewards of that, of passing that along. Whoa, you're in this place. You know what? God is gracious. And those are the types of realities that are usually, you know, where we let it stop. We don't, you know, and that's sort of up here. It's very spiritual. It's very awesome. And it's definitely the key to life. They're wonderful things. But don't ignore what's around you, I guess is what I'm saying. Start with your surroundings. God also gave you something physical and tangible that you could be a steward of, and he calls you to it. And see, when Jesus came, it wasn't just to save us for eternity. Definitely that was the big thing, but he saved us for now too, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And that we might walk in his love, and that we might walk by his Spirit. And what that does is it would make us to make a difference in this world. We wouldn't just be holding on as if we were in a bomb shelter waiting for, you know, the nuke to go and then we would be able to go home. We're doing something here. We want to show God's love and how it transforms a person, how he inhabits his creation being us, and how we could be closer to how God originally set this up to be. When he made Adam and Eve and he stuck them in that garden and everything was great before they fell, that as we grow closer to God and we allow him to transform and change us more, that we're getting more and more like Jesus and getting more and more like he originally set it up to be, experiencing that type of intimacy with God, that type of fellowship with God. And what that would mean is that we would, in all aspects of life, from the most spiritual to the most temporal, physical, simple, be glorifying him in those. That we would be with our environment, be in peace, be in harmony. We're meant to have value to God here, not just in heaven. And that's really echoed in Luke chapter 12 and before, or Luke chapter 2. Whatever. Anyway, well, the angel in the field, he's saying, well, peace, goodwill towards men, peace on earth. When Jesus is coming, when Jesus is born. And, you know, there's no real purpose for that if God's all about, you know, just getting us to heaven as quickly as possible. No, he wants us to make a difference here. He wants us to shine his lights to show example as examples what he intended this to be. And when it's all over, he makes a new heavens and a new earth, Revelation. So, I mean, not to make it, I'll spoon feed it to you. You know, we should recycle. Ooh. We should not litter. We should do all those sorts of things. I personally, you know, and this sounds like a hippy-dippy thing, but I think it's really ridiculous how much of the rainforest that Burger King burns down so that you can have their bad hamburgers, you know. It's like, those are noble things. I'd rather have the medicine, you know, from the rainforest than Whoppers. But maybe that's just me. And I'm not saying you need to get all political and be all cause-oriented, but you know what? Minister as you see fit when you see a need. Be someone that cares. Be someone that is concerned. Don't be so wrapped up in, oh, I'm going to heaven, so I don't care about anybody else down here, and I don't care about this world. God created this world. We need to be honoring him by honoring it. And I was thinking about this with, you know, not, of course, just the environment and trying to recycle and trying to litter, or trying not to litter. Anyways, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about pets, you know, and most of us probably have pets. I mean, who here doesn't have a pet or hasn't had a pet ever? Anyone? See? Nobody. Okay, so I have this cat. We inherited him when we got our house. The people said, you can have this cat. There was more to it than that. They're like, well, they didn't say you can have this cat. They said you can have the new refrigerator that's already in the kitchen if you keep this cat. And this cat is old. His name's Keters. He's got like 2 teeth left. And he was a tabby at one point, but it's all washed out, so it just sort of looks like a soft yellow. And he's so old and he's sort of senile. He doesn't even meow anymore. He's kind of like, you know, he doesn't, and so, I don't know. But he's a good little guy. Sometimes when you walk by him in the garage, you know, doing the laundry or something, he'll like bite your ankles for no reason. But he's a sweet guy too. And he's just my cat right now. But I was thinking that our way of seeing pets is pretty funny because we sort of use pets for enjoyment. You know, that's my pet, rather than bless them as a part of the creation. And think about this. This might trip you out. It tripped me out. See, if I feed and water a pet that I own, or if, you know, we're feeding and watering Keters because he was made by God, because he glorifies God in his design, then I worship God in being the steward of that cat. I'm actually worshiping God in being the steward of that cat. If I serve the created, I honor the creator. If I serve the designed, I honor the designer. And you actually get more enjoyment from that type of thing when you're serving it and serving-oriented. And selfishness isn't fun. It never makes anything any better. It's the same with marriage. It's the same with the environment. You know, maybe you don't appreciate those things because you haven't embraced your calling as a steward of them. But see, I can glorify God in taking care of that cat. He's not my cat. God made him. He's not there to, you know, bless me. He's not there to, you know, he's a cat. Let him be a cat. You know, and that's sort of, you know, releasing yourself from that, you know, I own this creation. How can we own any other part of creation? There's not really, you know, everything we have is God's. Everything that he's given us, it's his. He invented it. He breathed it into existence. And so, in saying that, you take something real practical, something real simple that everybody knows about, like having a pet cat or something like that, and you think, this cat isn't here to honor me, this cat isn't here to make me feel better about something, or, you know, be the, you know, keep my heart rate, whatever, so I can live longer, like they say about pets. The cat is there because the cat brings glory to God. It's a sleek and awesome little machine. You might have noticed that about cats. They need a lot of sleep because they're so alert, but when they're alert, it's pretty awesome. You know, they know what's going on. They have, like, 2,000 senses or something like that. And they're really neat. And for that reason, as a steward of a cat or a dog or a goldfish, whatever, that, you know, we can honor God in honoring those things. And as soon as we realize that, I think it really releases us to get more enjoyment because we're getting our enjoyment then not from what the cat can do for us, but from what the Lord has, you know, done in designing this cat. And, you know, if you think about it long and hard enough, you can sort of, you know, start to see God and see different elements of what he might be trying to communicate through creation in things like cats. if you like cats. I love cats. But anyways, worship is a lifestyle. It's a walk. It's the entirety of everything that we do. It can be a mystical heart connection in song or in, you know, some sort of concept or some sort of reality that we're, you know, starting to understand the kinds of things we talked last week. Or it can even be this worship in things as mundane as how we inhabit the earth, how we take care of the planet, how we take care of our pets. So we want to be involved in those things, and though they don't make us, you know, we don't want to be so into issues that Jesus is left out. And for that reason, you know, people like, you know, let's go demonstrate against this. Well, you know, as soon as you've made it about, you know, going in front of that clinic and demonstrating against it, you've ceased to be more about Jesus than you are about that. Then you're more anti this than you are pro Jesus. So you want to be more pro Jesus. But at the same time, you want to stand up, you want to add your voice. You don't want to have that attitude of, oh, it's all going to burn, and just dismiss it. Because all that shows is that you're afraid. See, we need to stand up against social injustice. We need to be a voice in that crowd. We need to be involved in our democracy. And we're actually going to encourage that. We're going to be providing materials this fall that just say, this is what so-and-so believes, this is what so-and-so believes. No commentary from us, but you're a steward of, you know, this government. This is where Jesus had you be born, so you should vote. You should. You should be involved. You should have those things going on. And see, you'd think this is really simple stuff, and as I talk about it, it is, but it's funny how as we become Christians, we sort of, you know, take a couple steps back, and then we take more steps back, and then we're just sort of like, oh, you know, nothing comes my way, and, you know, if a plane fell on my house tomorrow, I'd just be with Jesus. And, you know, that's true. It's totally true, but, you know, here we are. We want to honor God, and we want to make sure that our everything, our entire lives are pointing to Him, are speaking of Him. And there's a lot of people, I think, that would be really impressed if they saw Christians take a more active role in those types of things. It's not unbiblical. This is God's world. If He made it, I'd say it's worthy of honoring. It's worthy of our taking care of. And He called us to take care of it, to take care of it well. And so let's make sure we're doing that as stewards. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all that you've been speaking to me, and I thank you for all the opportunities in these simple ways, Lord, that you've put before us in our immediate surroundings, in our environment, that we really and truly could represent you, Lord. We realize, Lord, you're the author of all life, that you spoke all matter into existence, Lord, and you put us on this planet as stewards, Lord. I pray that as stewards, we would glorify you in our stewardship, that we would honor you in our stewardship to the most simple and mundane things of life, to all those just everyday aspects of our lives, Lord, that we would see you and we would see that even in those things, we can glorify you in our attitude and in our actions, Lord. And that's such a great thing, Lord. We want to live lives that are all about you, and we want to walk walks that are worshipful walks, Lord, where that part of us that wants to scream out everything about you, Lord, and just share the joy that we found in you, that can enter into all those parts of our life, Lord, the most spiritual to the most mundane. And Lord, be glorified in those parts of our life. Minister to hearts now as Christians are seeking you in any way you might be trying to talk to us. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here tonight and you know you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't know him intimately, you've never been introduced to God, this isn't a sales pitch. This is something that is real. This is something that is absolutely true. It's something that so many here already believe wholeheartedly. If you know that God is calling you tonight, if you know that this message might not have been to you, it might have been, you know, completely not directed to you, but you know tonight that you need that heart communion with God, and you know tonight that you need Him to come in to your life, to your soul, and to save you from yourself, to save you from your sin, well, then I'm going to tell you tonight that He's provided the way, the only way. He said, Jesus said that He was the way. That's the answer. He said He was the truth. He said He was the life. And he said that through him, you could come to the Father, and that would be the only way. And if you want to take that step of belief, maybe pray a prayer tonight, I'd encourage you to do that. I'd encourage you to do exactly that, because it's the most important decision, the most important determination that you can make in this entire time, this entire existence you have here. We are flawed and we are fallen and we are depraved creatures, but God provided the way. He sent Jesus to die on that cross. His blood shed, we sang it in all those songs. And belief in that sacrifice on your behalf. When Jesus was on that cross, he was thinking of you. And if you believe that, you can know him. You can have that intimacy with him. And he can save you for eternity to be with him in his heaven. If you believe that tonight, I'd invite you wherever you sit. Just raise your hand up real quick. Raise it up where I can see it. I'll recognize you. We can say a prayer together. And you can begin that walk with God. Anyone here? Lord, thank you for the assurance that we have in you. Thank you for all your blessings, Lord. Thank you for the wonder of your sacrifice for us. Thank you for creation all around us. Thank you that you give us these practical ways to glorify you in our lives, Lord. And now as we continue to sing to you in song, I pray that every word we sing would be a reality of our heart, and that we'd be truly having communion with you, that we'd be hearing from you and speaking to you, Lord. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.